Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love.
Do, 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 do.
Exciting and new.
Woo.
Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day Beyoncé.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality, yes, let's love.
There's and less... we're back.
And we're not back. This is part two.
That's what I'm saying. We're back for part two.
And you're right. The light is fading. You can see your face less, and I enjoy that. You're not
that's
so...
That's not nice.
Blown up for me.
My skin still looks good. Everyone just said on the YouTube live that my skin looks good.
Oh, God. How much makeup are you wearing?
None! Just moisturizer.
Not even concealer?
Not even concealer.
Really?
That's what happens to Oklahoma when you got a lot of sun, like you're doing right now. I can see the age on you.
Yeah, you're jealous of sun. Don't even act like, because I know you love.
You won't let me.
Sun.
You won't let me get into sun anymore.
You
would never shut the fuck up when I would like to get sun, and you're like, you need to wear sunscreen. You'll be old. Now I believe it.
Good, y'all. Poodle like to get a little. He's like, I just like to get a little burn.
Because like, that's how I grew up.
That's how you get melanoma.
This
is reality gaze.
This is toe. This is toe part two. Toe part dose. Toe part
toe. Second part. Show.
Second show.
So I'm having a drink of Dr. Pepper Zero Sugar. It's delicious.
I'm having some water.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Wait, you were having that in the first show. Oh, God. Poodle's going to get ripped. We got to get to this right
Ooh,
now.
Ooh, I'm a loose cannon.
Well, I thought you were just loose.
Oh my God, I almost said that joke. I think y'all, we need to like stop this because now we're just saying each other's jokes.
It's true. So y'all, real quick, the Facebook Sissy Squad Foundation of the Month is the Jamie Kimmel Foundation for Courage.
Charity, not the foundation.
Yeah, yes. So be sure to look for that in our announcements and you can donate to that. Go to our Linktree link.
Check out our Linktree. Shake our Linktree.
I'll
write
that like this.
Hello.
That's where you can find all of our live show information. Someone just mentioned, they went, oh my God, we're probably not going to see them because none of us have time, but Crappens is doing a live show.
They're doing tour. They're doing a whole, like their tour, like they're doing like 20 cities. I love that.
I saw their tour and I went, oh my God, if we did that, that gave me
exhausted
anxiety.
Just watching it.
Now, I was exhausted.
Now,
They're going to be in New York the same weekend we're going to be there.
I saw that.
Yeah. So y'all, if you're going to the live show in New York or you want to, well, there you
go to Crappens one night and grow to us one night.
Because we still, although our New York show on the 28th is sold out, right? When are we going
almost,
to New York?
Like, we have like three tickets. The New York show on the 28th is almost sold out. The 27th is pretty good. The 27th, you still have tickets.
Oh, actually, no. It's perfect. Their Crappens looks like they're on the Thursday, the 27th. Our shows are on Friday and Saturday. So we have plenty of tickets for our Friday show. So you can see Crappens on Thursday and see the Gays on Friday night.
We should look go see that. Their show.
We should. That would be fun.
We just fly in and get into town.
Well, we're going to be there.
If no compass, I'm not buying a ticket. Do you have industry comps available?
You have industry comps available. All right. It's their 10th anniversary to them, too. So shout out to Watch What Crappens.
10th? Oh, my God.
They've been doing this for 10 years. I'll be honest.
They've been doing this.
Enjoy us now, because Poodle and I aren't going to make it past 7.
So. I've been doing this for a year and something, and I'm tired of you.
Yeah, so.
God, 10 years?
If we're doing 10, that means we're just numb inside.
No, that means that I'll have handled something contractually with you where I can barely tolerate you.
Exactly.
The money will have to be that good.
It will. There's some, Below Deck is coming back. Yes, you all keep
with
messaging
Daddy
me.
Daddy Lee.
Yes, I'm excited for Daddy Lee. So that's
I don't know who the chief stew is. We know it's Chef Rachel and Eddie is first officer, but that's all we know. I'm still waiting if Eddie's going to be shitty or not. So I don't know.
We'll see. So that's coming back, and Winter House is now dropping as well. We did the. It's. I'm excited for it.
I'm excited. It's a big question mark for me. Not that I won't watch it, but I honestly don't know what's going to happen with this weird group of people.
Because I really need Lindsay to get there.
They let Paige's friend Julia cast half of the show.
It's weird. I need Hubs to get there. I'm ready for Hubs.
Oh, bring on the Hub House.
Bring on
and
the
bring
Hub
out
Hub.
The best.
Okay, speaking of not the best, let's just jump in and talk about Ari and Vinium. You know, I've said this before, but you know when we say something about someone, y'all, we don't always enjoy being right. We do a lot of times, but this was...
No, I enjoy every time I'm right about her.
I was like, we were right all along, and this is
gross.
They're
not good when they're not in the same place. When there is distance, she gets hella jealous.
Hella jealous. Like, full-on single white female.
Do people still say hella?
I don't think so. Yeah, they do. That's a Northern California
Northern California thing.
Yeah.
Like, Destiny said that. I'm like, hella wasted.
Because she's NorCal. So she's going to be in New Jersey. Shocking. Longer because it just takes time to do the surgery. So she's probably going to be, it's kind of an indefinite amount of time of how long.
And she's really upset because Benny has fun off and that's not good. And I need to talk with him. And she even says, I feel like I don't have any control when he turns his fun off.
I'm interrupting you because y'all, she's talking about this while she's sitting on the bottom bunk of our bunk bed. And I thought how the metaphor of that, the visual of she is such a fucking child in this, acting like a 17-year-old girl who's upset that her husband is just entertaining himself, that his, this woman has no empathy.
I agree, and I can't believe I'm going to push back on this fight a little for Ari here.
Oh, God.
I just don't think neither of them know how to communicate with the other, and both of them use communication as a way to gimme the other, especially when they're not in the same place. Because what
explain gimme for people that didn't grow up in South Carolina.
Is it only a South Carolina thing?
No, I've never heard this.
When you're sticking it to someone, you're gimmeing them?
Yeah,
you're gimmeing them?
I think that's a mother poodle thing.
You got to gimme them. I don't know where it comes from. Yeah, she's like, why are you gonna gimme your brother? God, Jay Bird. It's all about gimme and your brother. Why you gotta gimme me? I think that may be a South Carolina thing. But she is just sticking it to Benny, and he will do anything to stick it to her. And mostly because they're such the same person. in the way both of them approach relationships. Yes, we've laid this out before. When Beanie is alone in Ethiopia, he acts like his former life, where he would go out to clubs, flirt with girls. He's a fuckboy. Now, we have no evidence at all that Beanie has actually had affairs on Ari. We have none.
No, and but, we've even had some sissies comment, like in the Facebook group, about like society and Ethiopian men and not being alone. And like, that's a big, so like the fact that he wants to be around people.
At the same time, for Ari, the fact that he is going out and she has no say on what he's doing, and she doesn't have control over, it's a big deal for her to have control over his daily life. And she would rather him be at home missing her.
She would rather him sit at home doing nothing, when she's not even taking the fact that he's already, to use your word, hella depressed because she left, and it's bringing up trauma of his kid being taken away from him, and he doesn't want to deal with that shit.
And if she wasn't there, Benny would just be going out with his friends. And the thing is, she doesn't like his friends because they all hate her. They even later, they're like, there's the Ten Commandments, the Constitution, and Ari's rules. And I think it's, remember that just,
she's the unreasonable one in the group.
The way that Ari behave, or the way Ari wants Binyam to behave, is just not the way an Ethiopian man behaves. And remember, they are in Ethiopia.
And so, honestly, if I was leaving my husband for a month, I actually would say, hey, honey, this is a great time for you, like, go out with friends. Go do things that you've wanted to do without me.
That's sweet that you think that, but she's just not that.
No, she's not it. But she's so... it's all about, the attention is not on her.
And she, and y'all, she knows this about, she's like, we don't really do that well when we're not in the same place and we're long distance. And so, y'all, she's spiraling because all she can think of is him, like, I know he's fucking bitches.
Yeah. And then they call him, they finally Skype, and she's like, why did you turn off your phone through 3 hours?
You turned off your phone.
And he was like, I went to the gym.
This was a bullshit excuse. I don't know if it's language or a language barrier, but it does sound really suspicious.
I put it in airplane mode, and I'm like, oh, honey, that was a bullshit excuse.
And this is like a brutal cycle for them, because he has to say, why do you want to control me? I'm doing what I need to do. You're not here. And she gets insecure about it. And the more he gets upset about her feeling ignored, the more he gets like, why you gotta control me? And the same thing with her, the more angry he gets, the more like, why are you being this way? Why are you treating me like this? You're gonna go out and fuck girls.
The phrase that drove me over the edge is when she said, honestly, I don't think you care about me at all.
And that's where she goes. It's the extreme. Oh,
but y'all, this is happening because she didn't want to come back. This was her plan. This was her plan all along, to gaslight him into cheating on her. Because look, one of our medical sissies said this type of surgery that Binyam is getting, she said it needs to be done ASAP. It needs to be done quickly. I don't buy that Ari had to go, that they got this surgery done, that he got delayed because a doctor. Because look, we see next week.
She wanted to see her family.
Yeah, she wanted to see her family, and we see him next week. She wanted to get new lips.
That's right. She got new lips.
She got new lips. That's fine. You know, get lips,
good for her. Get new lips.
Do whatever you want. But y'all,
she did get new lips.
This has nothing to do with her baby. Nothing to do with her baby surgery.
Then she says, you know, the thing about it is, you're having like a great time without me and all your friends, and you're just always talking about how much your friends do. What about me and your baby? We're your family. Why aren't you talking to us every night? And this is the relationship in which she thrives. Is this, what are you doing for me? And that is how they've established their relationship. When she is not there, he's not able to capitulate. He feels a sense of bravery.
Yeah.
And she cannot handle having complete control of him.
No.
So I was trying to defend her, but I don't even know if I can do that.
Well, but now, so I'm not going to defend her, but I do want to say the way she says, like, if you're a father and you have a little kid and a wife, like, in their way, you should make time to talk to your significant other every day. Even if it's 5 minutes. So if Benny's not doing that, if he's going days without talking to her, then yeah, she totally has a right to be upset. But it doesn't, I have a feeling Ari wants to call him
it's control
6 times a day.
Yeah.
And he's like, bitch.
And in her, in the moment, she's like, well, he's obviously hiding something.
He's not. I don't think he's hiding anything.
Remember, you brought your ex-husband to Ethiopia and he stayed with you.
Yes. And you're the one that decided that your child needed to leave Ethiopia to have a routine surgery when he totally could have had this surgery in Ethiopia and been fine.
But she gets him to say, don't turn off your phone. And that's pretty reasonable. Then later on, we are, and I wrote down, neither is listening to the way they're communicating. This is, they just don't have it. So y'all, we focus on Beanie. This is the festival of mezcal. We found the cross that Jesus was crucified on, and we're gonna have a party. Oh, we're gonna drink and have a party and a big bonfire. I enjoy Ethiopian holidays because they sound so religious. remember, no one can hear those. We just had a whole conversation on the Pink Shade Facebook group.
No, I think that one worked. I think that one worked.
Oh, really?
I did it through my sound pad. Yeah, so I think they heard it. Yeah.
Well, Aaron says, we're making all these inside jokes to the sound effects we have, and no one can hear them. And it was the same thing for us. We had we were talking about it, and
no, I think
no one
could
hear it.
Yeah, all right. Listen.
Y'all, come at us if you can hear that.
Oh, yeah, you can tell. They're recording. They're on my microphone.
Because it's on your sound pad.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell Aaron about that.
Wow. Anyway, sorry, behind the curtain, y'all. So, okay, so.
They're partying it up mezcal style.
Mezcal
when they
style.
Found the cross.
And Benny that's when Benny's talking to his friends, and they're just honestly, there's not much except for they're just talking how selfish she is. And the thing is, they both are so wrapped up in their selfishness, they're refusing to see the other person's point.
Amen. Yeah, they're both, I mean.
Like, he wanted to go out New Year's Eve, and she was pissed about that. But he went out, like, on New Year's Eve. You expect you're with your family and a kid. You expect to just, why not let him go out with his friends on New Year's Eve?
Well, I think she, in her heart of hearts, she knows he's still a little bit of a fuckboy.
Not a little bit.
And
he is totally a fuckboy.
And there she's scared about that. She's just not handling it the right way. If she was a little bit smarter about this, she would make the best friends with his former dance partner and ex-girlfriend and say, girlfriend, call me when he fucks up. Or everyone around him, she would make the best friends with his sisters. I don't know if that's possible, but
they hate her pretty
much. Yeah, but if there was a way to get in good with people who would be her eyes and ears, there's just not. All of his male friends hate her because she's so controlling. So she's always going to be the enemy. And all of his friends are going to encourage him, let's go out. You're not with a ball and chain anymore. And so that's the problem. They are living separate lives. And he is always going to have his friends.
We can't go on together with a separate life.
With the separate lives. There's a song called Separate Labs.
That's what I just was singing.
No, that's Suspicious Minds.
I was not. Oh, it is. You're right.
Don't question me. about stuff like that. But there's
we separate lives. I think that's a song
that
too. Song,
I don't think that song's as good. Okay, I'm gonna throw something at you. You can tell me. I know that. Can we jump to Kenny and Armando?
Yeah,
because we'll do Kenny and Armando, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll
okay.
Because I feel like we're gonna have a lot to say about Jenny and Submit.
Okay.
So, Jenny and Submit. Oh,
the gays. Kenny and Armando. Kenny and Hannah are going to the park, and Kenny is calling his daughters, Madison and Cassidy. And we found out that in the meantime that Cassidy is pregnant.
She just had her baby.
Yeah, that was just like last week, I believe.
Yeah, really cute baby. Congratulations, Kenny and Armando.
Grampy. And the girls are saying things like the daughter Madison says, Cooper misses his grampy. And of course, cue Kenny's waterworks. Now, the thing about I wrote down here. Kenny says he's very homesick. He has not told Armando how homesick he is. Again, y'all, these are problems, but these aren't Ari Binion problems, Jenny Submit problems, Corey and Evelyn problems. These are communication problems.
They're communication problems, but in a way, though, I really, my heart went out to Kenny. This was a very moving segment, only because we knew this, but for the most part, we've seen Kenny like being involved with Armando and being happy. But this time we see, I mean, when you think about, remember y'all when Kenny left his family, how much he cried, and he's so close to them.
And he hasn't really mentioned that a lot about being feeling homesick. They've been dealing with Armando's family.
And that's been
the conflict.
Now, like, you know, he's feeling miserable about it all. And, you know, for Madison, he was there with her during her pregnancy. And he's not, remember y'all, they don't have a mom. They just have a dad.
Right.
So he's not there for the pregnancy of Cassidy.
My question for you is, what would be the problem of him going and visiting and staying for 3 or 4 weeks, coming back, going and staying for 3 or 4 weeks, coming back, then staying for like 2 months before the pregnancy?
I don't think there's anything wrong with that, except for that, they're planning a wedding.
That is true.
And as we can tell, that's going to stress Armando out. And there also is this idea of, just from someone that I've, this last year, I have been like 6 weeks here, then a couple, you never really get settled. And so there is this way of, I'm sure Armando and Kenny, they want to build a life together in Mexico and put down roots. And I think that 1 foot in, 1 foot out would really keep Armando and Kenny from building those roots.
I would question, is Kenny really sold on that plan? Because I think Kenny is just like biding his time when Hannah gets older so they can move to the U.S.
I kind of feel like that too, because it seems like, I know Armando's close to his parents, but it doesn't seem as close as Kenny is to his family.
And, I'm not saying that that's right. I'm just saying that's what it feels like to me, Kenny's just biding his time.
And Armando, you know, later brings up, it's not just his parents.
Biding my time. Oh, yes, I'm biding my time. That's a Gershwin tune.
It is. But he also doesn't want to take Hannah away from her maternal grandparents. So,
You know, the woman who chased him down and then died on the road.
This is a real problem, y'all. Like, this is a real relationship problem with Ari and Binium, Jenny and Submit. This is just stupid fluff because they all refuse to see what they want to see.
Right.
This is like two people who love each other and they're trying to be responsible.
But it's solvable, unlike Jenny and Submit.
It broke my heart when Kenny said, life is marching on. I feel like life is marching on without me. And I thought this was such a beautiful description. He said, being here in Mexico, I've been the happiest in my life and I've been the saddest in my life.
I'll move on to this one part about their washer isn't working, so they're going to go to the laundromat. And Kenny says, I need to tell you something, Armando. And I've been struggling. I've really been struggling with being very, very homesick. And Armando says, okay, I get that you miss your kids, but I'm really, really worried that you're going to go back home and cancel the wedding. And then Armando, this is what made me cry. I cry in all of their segments, y'all. Mostly yeah. when Armando says something, because when Armando cries, it's really sad.
It is.
Armando says, I feel like I'm letting your, I'm going to cry. I feel like I'm letting your family down and I'm worrying they're going to hate me.
Because he loves because I've his taken family.
Away. Yeah.
And these they
are,
love him.
These are issues. Like, I don't mean to minimize their issues, but these are issues that couples have. They are fixable, but you have to talk about them. And they're real.
Actually, I think these are bigger issues than the other couples, because not in a big issue like you're going to, but it's talkable and it's fixable, but it's big moves to fix this. And so whether it is they do, but I think they'll be fine. And obviously it's, Armando does such a beautiful thing, which is a smart thing, y'all. If someone tells you something and it's shocking to you or kind of dysregulating and you don't know what to say, he just kind of said, okay, what are you feeling? That's mm-hmm. such a great thing, because he was kind of like, you could tell Armando was hit by this. And Kenny just says, look, and Kenny, Armando says, you're scaring me. I hope this isn't something that you're going to want to go back home.
Yeah. And he says, I don't want you to leave. Yeah.
And Kenny said, I'm just trying to be upfront with you and I'm missing out on a lot. And then that's when they both cry and have this. So,
and Armando does say, I'm worried that he's keeping things from me. Which I think it's a good thing that he's telling you this, but I want them to be happy.
You know what I worry about? And this is what I've thought before with Kenny. Kenny is, and I know because I see a lot of myself in Kenny, and Armando is the same way in a different way as well. But I think Kenny can be a people pleaser. And I worried this whole time he was putting his emotions on the back burner, because Armando has been going through so much with coming out to his family. And so he wants to be supportive. But y'all, it's you can support someone and still have your feelings. That's okay.
You could please me a little bit more. Why don't you be a people pleaser with me?
Shut the fuck up. Let's go to commercial.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there.
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long. But yes, they are so soft. And the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, We've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all black classics to fun expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cough!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/RealityGaze.
That's MeUndies.com/RealityGaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gifted to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song, To All Our Queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you, so no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, have hope. Keep going, queens.
Ladies and germs, I am Mama Submit, your senior drill instructor. From now on, you will speak only when spoken to, and the first and last words out of your filthy sewers will be yes. Do you maggots understand that, Jenny? Do you understand that? I'm gonna take you through this Indian dinner, and you're gonna say yes, ma'am, thank you. May I have another, you piece of shit? Y'all, it's Indian fried chicken here tonight.
Oh boy.
His mother scorched her.
I mean, I almost felt bad for Jenny.
I kind of did, but at the same time, y'all, she chose this. She knew what was coming.
Well, and we saw definitely the I almost lost my headphones. We saw the pattern of what she, of kind of how she deals with this. We're going to talk about that later.
That was Full Metal Jacket, by the way. If you're like, where do I remember that from? That's why it felt like she's accepting her punishment. You never saw that movie, did you?
Oh, it's a movie. Is it good? Is it good? Never heard of it.
Yeah, I don't think you would.
Why was it called Full Metal Jacket if there's about the military? Doesn't make sense. A metal jacket.
I think it has something to do with bullets and stuff like that. I don't know. I don't really know. But it was about how the military and a guy kills himself. It's about how terrible military, they build you up. They break you down, then they build you up. It's a really uplifting thing to say. I'm saying that's what it felt like to me when Mama Submit started talking to Jenny.
Y'all, as we know, last episode, she was already cleaning Jenny's kitchen. And so then Jenny and Mama Submit are in the kitchen with Submit.
I want to eat something cooked by Jenny.
And Submit says, oh, they're going to cook dinner. It's going to be great. And y'all, you know it's not good when Jenny is trying to put on like a rice cooker top and she's trying to do it. She's like, I can't do it. Can't do it. And Mom says she can't
My
even
open. My hands don't work.
And she's like, what? It does not work? And then Jenny tries to open a container, which makes sense because when you have chicken claws, you've got, it's hard to, it's not same. It's different than a hand.
She doesn't have opposable thumbs. It's just wings.
It's just wings.
After all.
Mama Submit says she can't even open a container.
Y'all, this is some brutality. I've rarely seen a mother be this awful.
And she's just
unless it was the last time my mother cooked with my sister-in-law.
Oh boy. The last time your sister-in-law did that.
You should see that. No, she doesn't anymore because my mother just savages her. My mother's like, "No, you're doing this wrong. You need, if you're going to make biscuits like that, just move out of the way. Let me do it."
because your sister-in-law tried to make biscuits like the way your mom makes for your brother and she fucked it up.
Yeah. Fucked it up big time.
And your mother won't even give you her full biscuit recipe.
No, my mother left out things. This is a thing. I'm sure that other people, other forebears do this, but my grandmother didn't give certain recipe things to my mother. Like just left out shit so it wouldn't be the same. And it's a very, it's from what I know, it's a very Southern thing for my mom. Even to this day, my mother will never really tell me exactly how to make biscuits. She'll just say, well, you have to add a little bit until it looks like this. And then when I say it didn't go right, she's like, well, you must not have done that. Well, maybe next time. I'll show you again when we go home. Maybe you can get it right this time.
Which is her way of saying, if you come home, I'll show you. Come home.
Yeah. Come learn. Come learn at the potter's wheel.
Where his mother is like, I want to eat something by Jenny. And she's like, I don't think she's going to be able to learn anything, but we'll see. And whereas Submit is like, I feel this is an opportunity for them to be like they were before. Remember when Jenny lived with my mom and my dad and she lied about dating me?
And she was literally sneaking into my bedroom every night, banging me.
But they were good friends then.
So y'all, that's when things get weird. Because Jenny's like, I don't know, things are kind of being really fun. I think Mama Smith's really starting to enjoy what we're doing. And at this point, let us do another episode of Reality Gaze Theater.
People don't like it when we do it fast.
Sitar, because we're in India.
They don't like it when we do it fast. People have said
they can go fuck themselves.
Wow.
I'll do what I want.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, that's not pleasant at all. I'm stopped because it was awful.
It
wasn't harmony. It was awful.
Sorry, y'all.
You were like a second apart from me. It was garbage.
Y'all, we're remote but goat. I'm in Oklahoma, if you remember. So.
Yeah, I think they know.
That. By the way, the tornado storm is up by Colgate now, so it's not near us. We're fine.
No one asked.
Anyway, just letting everybody know. Okay, so Poodle, who are we playing? You didn't say who. Are you doing Mama
Submit? I'm doing Mama Submit.
Okay, yeah. And I'll be playing Jenny. Okay, y'all, they're kitchening in the kitchen. And
they're kitchening in the kitchen.
Poodle, is for the sake, he is not going to speak Hindi. He is going to translate this into English for y'all.
My Hindi's a little rusty, to be honest. So, yeah. Yeah.
And action.
Can you get the flower, please? I know you don't speak my language, but I'm going to point at it.
What is it? A flower. I don't know flower. Flower. I eat chicken feed. I don't eat flower.
Now knead the flower.
Knead it. Oh, okay. this is really
you don't know anything.
What?
It's adorable.
What?
You don't know.
Oh, thank you. Oh, yeah. You like the way I'm with my chicken claw?
You idiot.
That's good. Oh, yeah.
Use your brain. Well, yes, it's a chicken brain, so it's very tiny.
You
don't know anything.
Oh, wait. This little pot steaming. Let me get it. Let me open this steam. Oh, that's hot. Oh, that's hot.
You burned your hand or your wing.
Burned my feather. Right, my feather. It's just hot. How do you get that off? You know, how do you get this steam out?
This is Sumit's favorite. You need to be able to make it.
I don't really make chicken because that's kind of a conflict of interest. It makes me feel uncomfortable.
I'm going to teach you how to do all the daughter-in-law stuff because you're empty. Okay. You're oh, lovely, Jenny. You're so empty-headed and brainless.
Oh, you're so sweet. You're so sweet. I'm so glad you're having a good time. This is going well. You're smiling.
Yeah. If I could kill you with my brain, I would.
I think that was good.
But I'm smiling.
Oh, God, you're smiling. Ooh, ooh.
And scene. Y'all, this is some really rough shit.
I applauded when I saw this. This is one, and I literally actually applauded. This is one of my favorite things I've ever seen on 90 Day Fiancé.
Mama Submit, y'all, is just, isn't she could be holding back.
She could be a James Bond villain.
The amount of respect I have for the way the woman can dole out just insult after insult with smiling. She's learned. I'm kind of in awe of it.
And Jenny was like, wow, she's acting like a real human being. She really wants to try. I think that's it. It's going better than I thought.
Later on, they're sitting there eating the food on the table types of coasters.
It's true, all coaster issues. I have to ask, what is the IQ of Jenny?
You know, it's not that I think she's really dumb. I just think she doesn't understand people or social cues.
Yeah, because I bet she would be this way. It is like she doesn't get sarcasm, even in English. It's like she doesn't get it.
I agree. It's a problem. So they're talking and they're eating, and Jenny's like, they're talking to Jenny, and they're like, well, to be honest, Jenny, you need to do all the daughter-in-law stuff.
I already
cook and clean.
Yeah, she said, I'll cook this for him. No, you don't clean at all.
And she says, and Jenny, to be honest, we have a very big social circle. Are you gonna be okay when people go up to you and I'm quoting here and go, whoa, whoa, whoa. What an old hag she is.
What an old hag she is.
Is she Sumit's grandmother? Whoa. Now,
they say grandma. Whoa. That's where Jenny goes, grandma, I can't be a I could be his mother. I could be his mother, but I couldn't be his grandmother.
I don't know if I could be his mother is the part, the hill you want to die on.
Yeah, that doesn't make it any better, Jenny.
So... y'all, anyone could look around and tell you this is dead in the water. Actually, anyone could look around and say, is Sumit worth this with his Kate Gosselin hair that he's got going on?
No.
Or his Karen at Applebee's hair? It's just not worth it.
Jenny gets a little emotional, so she's just kind of wiping her nose with the Kleenex. And then she sets the Kleenex down on the coffee table, and the mother says,
"Oh, she was just waiting for that."
She was like, "This is unhygienic." And Submit has to tell her this. And she's like, what? What?
Oh.
And he's like, yeah, you can't leave your Kleenex down. And Jenny was like, but I lived in a chicken coop.
And Father Submit is trying to say, let's focus on all the things that, instead of the negativity, let's focus on all the things that we're going to teach Jenny. And the mom's like, okay, we can do that. And
Jenny's getting riled up, and she tells him, she's like, you're forgetting why you're here. This is supposed to be peaceful. And Dad's like, we're not trying to fight. And Mom is just sitting there smiling, saying, we're not trying to fight at all.
Oh.
I'm just trying to be honest with you and tell you everything that's wrong with you to make you better.
Y'all, this is a fucking adversary. If you've got a mother-in-law like this, you need to go to war. This is going to take planning. This is going to take battle sketching.
Yes.
You need to poison your husband or your wife to whatever their parents are saying. This is going to take planning.
Everything Jenny doesn't have.
Exactly.
Doesn't have this in her at all.
That's why I've said this over and over again, y'all. Let's say you've been divorced and you're dating someone new, if you want to start dating someone new, find an orphan. It is much better if they don't have parents, because this is what you're going to have to deal with. Especially if you're the second wife. God, they're going to hate you even more.
Unless they hate the first wife, then maybe they'll like you because they still hate the first wife.
No, it doesn't work that way. I'm sorry. In-laws, y'all, that's why it's been a joke on every sitcom forever. If you get along with your in-laws, you're the exception.
You are the exception. And even, you know, it's good. I think Submit's mother would do this no matter who she married. It's worse
because
it's Jenny. But even she married, and if he married an Indian girl, she would still rake her over.
Oh, yeah, she'd still be shitty.
But that would be, I guess, more culturally, she would take it more. Where Jenny is like, I would never come in the house and do this tell you how to live. And so she said, I would never treat you in disrespect. You're disrespecting me in my house. I would never do this. And I went, Jenny, you shacked up in their house and snuck in their son's bedroom.
Their son. In their house.
Lie to them for years. So, y'all, we really have to remember, you want to feel sorry for Jenny and all of this?
Submit.
But
Submit's the biggest villain.
Yeah, but they created this. They created this.
Y'all, then everyone's best boy, Submit, drops this little nugget. It is my dream that we would all live together. And I screeched. Screeched.
Well,
like an emu.
My counter. So y'all, the counter on 101 ways Submit could not marry Jenny. It was at 100. As soon as he said that, it just automatically rolled back to 46.
Y'all,
he set that counter because he's going to get so much mileage out of it. He says this, and Jenny, this is where I want to tell you where I was. I watched this and I was like, whoa. And Jenny says, my dream is not for us to live together. And this is where I kind of started, but let me finish it out. I started to feel sorry for Jenny because Jenny says, okay. And you see her kind of look up at the crew helplessly, like looking at the cameraman, like, she was just like, somebody, what the fuck? And so, and she says, this is new information for her. This is not her dream. And that's what she said.
And then, I believe her. I believe her that this is new information.
And I felt sorry for her. But then in the same fucking breath, she said, I've been in a relationship for Submit with a long time, and I don't believe him. He's just saying this to appease his parents.
And that's when I went, there we are.
And I went,
have no sympathy or empathy for you anymore, honey.
He literally is telling you the piece of shit that he is, and you're letting him treat you this way.
Yeah. And y'all, the mom hears that and feels validated. And she, later on that night, she goes,
her and the dad are getting ready for bed. And like, Jenny,
yeah, I've been, I feel that I've changed to make Submit happy, and I'm just waiting for Jenny to change.
Jenny, she really, she has a lot of anger.
She has a lot of anger. Y'all,
that was the biggest.
I was trying to explain things, and she got so aggressive.
It was the biggest gift to Mama Sumit that Sumit literally threw that chicken under a bus.
Yes.
And
yes.
Chickens don't do well under buses.
No, they get killed. And yeah. Mom even said, I was angry too, but I controlled myself. I mean, if she can't handle this, then how will we move forward? And then she said,
She's a professional. I kind of admire it.
This is a gaslighting comment, but she says, I've changed myself for Sumit's happiness. Has she?
Exactly. Yeah.
And I'm like,
and you know what?
She actually has a lot, but.
But there's kind of a point there. She could go at Jenny with that point saying, how have you changed to become an Indian daughter-in-law?
Well, in a way though, this is what, but Sumit, again, Sumit changed all the rules. Yeah. So Sumit
he moved the goalpost.
Because y'all, what it really is, Sumit realized, oh, I think this is a lot of it. Sumit got with an American woman and went, oh, wait, she's not going to take care of me and baby me and wipe my ass like my mom does.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he wants, y'all, because Jenny is telling him to get a job.
He wants an American wife to take care of him like all other Indian men. He said that to her.
He said that last episode, and Jenny was like, oh, well, I don't think that. So literally, honey, when people tell you who they are the first time, believe them.
Believe them. And later
you
on.
You said that like sip. You went, please,
believe them.
Lady Bill, believe them.
I had to do another cameo as Cuckoo.
I miss her. Miss her.
Don't miss the terribleness that is her. No. Yeah. Anyway, Sumit's like, trust me, Jenny, everything's going to be fine. I said that it was a dream, so I don't know if it's going to happen or not.
Dreams never happen. And I'm like, what the fuck does that mean?
Yeah. And so he says at the end, he's like, but if I'm getting love, why can't we just live with them? Because then I can have my fantasy of sucking my mother's breast milk and then trying to suck your dry breast milk at the same time.
At the same time.
Yeah. Same time.
Same time.
Same time.
And Jenny told him, she said, if you think we're going to live, I don't think that's going to happen. Again, instead of saying, that's not going to happen. She needs to put a firmer boundary. But I think
I've lost hope officially. Oh, I think I've officially lost hope with this episode.
Yep, for sure. And it's just, you know, it's commit says
for
he
Jenny
came
anyway.
To this revelation during COVID because he couldn't be around his parents.
Bullshit. You've always wanted this, Sumit.
It is crazy, y'all. He's 33 years old. He's 30 fucking 3 years old.
And I know this is a different situation, but think about the Indians on the Indian Americans on Family Karma. They are Indian Americans. They're not living with their parents.
But maybe that's the American thing. Because we did
that's true.
When we watched Indian Matchmaking, there were a couple of those guys that were totally babied by their mothers.
And they needed to live in attached families. Yeah.
So, the thing is, though, is that I did feel sorry for Jenny in that he told Jenny who she was as an American woman, everything was what he wanted.
Right. Well, that's the show, y'all.
That's the show, everybody. This is a shorter show because last episode was long.
I don't know. I think this was like 45 minutes, maybe.
Yeah. But I mean, we went in. Poodle was telling a lot of stories about Oklahoma.
Me?
Yeah. Anyway. Y'all, go to realitygaze.com. That's right. You heard realitygaze.com.
No,
why, Poodle?
No more porn.
No more porn.
Doesn't mean there can't be.
Hopefully,
I'll put out my own site later.
What? You know, why do you have to make everything? Okay, good. I was just checking. Okay, good. Y'all, don't worry. The storm is up by cement now. So it's fine.
And none of this is real.
No, it's
none
true.
None of these names are real.
No, it's up by cement in Custer City, so we're okay. So the storm has passed. want to let everybody know. Y'all,
not real.
We call them
in the dark.
We call these people lonely hearts, Poodle, because aren't we all just lonely hearts looking for love in all the wrong places?
Yes. And if you have found the cross that Christ was crucified on, I did some research on this this holiday. This Roman Empress Helena decided she had found it, and wow. I'm sure she had. Wow. But if you find the cross, we'll make a new holiday, and y'all come at us.
Call us.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.